Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's continue to worship, remember, and proclaim Jesus, just as we did in song, now through communion, as we prepare together by turning in His Word. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. It says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross." Here, Paul first sets the stage for us to understand and glory in the gospel. He tells us what we were apart from the gospel. Look down, beginning of verse 13. You. Stop and listen, everybody. This isn't some abstract theological concept that we need to understand. I'm not merely rehearsing here facts that we know. In God's word, Paul describes you. He describes me. Either who you were or who you are. We must know this. So look down and see what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "You were dead." How were you dead? You were dead in your trespasses, in violation of God's standard. In relation to God, we were all dead because of sin. Some in this room still are dead in this way. And this does not merely mean that we are dead because we did sinful things. No, sin so thoroughly rules the life of the non-Christian that you and I were utterly devoid of anything pertaining to life in God. We were dead. And for a dead person, the problem isn't merely that they aren't walking around doing things that living people tend to do. Right? The problem is that they're dead. They are completely unable to be alive. There's no life in them, and there was no life in us. There was a story in the news last week. I'm not sure if you saw it. A Michigan woman, she kept the corpse of her dead roommate for 2 years because she didn't wish to be alone. When police finally visited her home, they found the mummified body in a chair. The lady told authorities, "She often talked to the silent companion and watched NASCAR races with him, keeping his corpse dressed and clean." That's what religion seeks to do. That's what self-improvement seeks to do, apart from the gospel. It ignores the fact that we were all born spiritually dead, and instead we try to dress up our spiritual deadness and make it look like we're doing good things, look like we're doing things that living people tend to do, but we're still dead. The problem isn't just that we do sins and we need to do less of them, maybe a little bit of good. The problem is that apart from Christ, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses. We need a resurrection, not a dress up. Are you content to deal with sin and alienation from God by playing dress up? Only when you understand that you're dead will you despair of religious self-justification and self-improvement. and cling to the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. All of our efforts, apart from the gospel, at self-improvement, are just as ridiculous as this woman's efforts with her roommate. We're also dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. What does this mean? Well, just a few verses earlier in verse 11, Paul talks about the circumcision that Christ does. He says that at salvation, the Christian is circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of flesh. The circumcision of the flesh is what a dead person needs to be freed from sin and to be made alive. Paul's reminding the Colossians that they used to be dead because the sinful nature had not yet been removed. We were dead, doing sin, because we were in our very nature sinful, completely dead to God. And now look back at Colossians 2:13. Now we're finally ready to understand the main clause of the sentence. It says, God made you alive. Speaking to the Christian, Paul authoritatively and accurately declares, God made you alive. God does what our efforts, our feigning good works, our attempts at law keeping could never accomplish. God made us alive. And God, just as God powerfully raised Jesus' dead corpse to life, he raises the Christian to life out of sin. How did God make you alive? Look at the last part of verse 13. You see it there? He made us alive, having forgiven all our trespasses. Notice that Paul says that he has forgiven us. He shifts from the second person. Before that, he had said you. Now he says us. There can be no misunderstanding here. Every Christian, including Paul, is included. We were all dead, and every Christian has been given life through the forgiveness of our trespasses. All our trespasses have been forgiven. At salvation, we were forgiven and freed from our sin. We were raised to new life, a true life that is characterized by faith in and obedience to Jesus. There is no earning salvation here, no corpse dress-up games. No, the good news of salvation is not try harder, do better, or dress your corpse up, but that God, in one fell swoop at salvation, forgives every aspect and changes every aspect of that past life. He's forgiven every single sin, past, present, future. He made you alive. He made us alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses. And now we have to ask the question, how does a holy God and righteous judge forgive sins? Paul gives us a word picture in verse 14 to show how God could forgive those sins that we have committed. All our trespasses that our former life was dominated by, they can be collected up into a huge document, a record of debts. You see, God has a perfect, holy standard to which we must live up. Any falling short of that standard puts us in a position of unpayable debt to God. And God's perfect justice legally demands that every single one of those debts be accounted for. Everybody in this room, listen to me, every single person except one who has ever been born has a record of debt against God. And the legal demands to rightly account for this is that God would send us forever to experience his wrath in hell. This is not up for debate. This is the fact. We all have a record of debt that demands hell. This now is the good news of the gospel. God made us alive with Christ by forgiving our trespasses, by canceling that record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Every single person except one who has ever been born has a record of debt against God. And that one who had no record of debt, that sinless one, Jesus, took on the record of debt, became sin for all who would believe. And he paid all the legal demands of that debt when he died on the cross. Every debt against God will be paid, either by Jesus on the cross or by the sinner in hell. John Piper says it well. He says, there is no salvation by balancing the records. There is only salvation in canceling records. The record of our bad deeds, including our defective good deeds, along with the just penalties that each deserves, must be blotted out. They can't be balanced. This is what Christ suffered and died to accomplish. The cancellation happened when the record of our deeds was nailed to the cross. And how was this damning record nailed to the cross? Parchment wasn't nailed to the cross. Paper wasn't nailed to the cross. Christ was. So Christ became my damning record of bad and good deeds, and he endured my damnation. He put my salvation on a totally different footing. He is my only hope, and faith in him is the only way to God. So now at communion, we remember and proclaim Jesus in his life-giving, debt-canceling, hell-absorbing death on our behalf. We take a piece of bread, reminding us of his body that was nailed to the cross in our place. And we take a cup of juice, pointing us to his life-giving blood that flowed as he died. God raised Jesus to life, and through that same power has raised you, Christian, to new life. So evaluate your life. Where there is righteous, holy living, that's not the basis for your salvation. That's a result of it. God gets the glory. And where you recognize sin in your life, turn from it. Repent. God saved you from sin. And as you recall your glorious salvation, you're being raised from death to life, why would you walk in the sins that you've been saved from? So turn from your sins. Where there are any, confess them and repent. That's what Christians do. But if you will not turn from sin, you have no confidence that God has performed this resurrection, this salvation in your life. If you will not turn from your sins, or if you, by your own admission, say you've never been saved, let the bread and juice pass. Your debt is still on you. But for Christians, eat and drink to the glory of God, remembering Christ and proclaiming his death through which we have life. Men, please come, serve us. Take communion on your own. I'll close us in prayer in a few minutes.